Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today.
DSW, let us surprise you.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Anybody remember the movie Princess Bride? Inconceivable, they kept saying. And then Mandy Patinkin said, I don't think you know what that word means. Well, you'd have thought it inconceivable the Red Sox could return the same group from last year and start out 1-4 this year. And actually, it could be 0-5 if it weren't for the Mitch Moreland miracle in Game 2. So, now indeed, to quote again from the same movie, it's humiliations galore. We'll recap a 7-0 loss to the Oakland A's here on episode 3 of Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. Oh, it's your daily Sox podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
Though the Oakland have a complete no-name rotation, right? The guy they started Monday night doesn't even have his own name or identity, really. Aaron Brooks was an NFL quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. There was an NBA player named Aaron Brooks, too. This Aaron Brooks was a guy with a career ERA of 801. That is a Salt Lake City area code. You got to at least have a Pittsfield Mass ERA to make it in this league, you would think. Woburn would be even better. I think that's a 339. But anyway, losing to this Aaron Brooks, it's like drowning in 3 inches of water. Josh Lewin with you. I'm the new guy. I'm supposed to be the happy, happy guy. But it's not working right now. Somehow, Aaron Brooks stuffed the Sox for 6 innings of 2-hit shutout ball, meaning the A's last 5 games, they've got 32 innings from their starters, 1 run allowed. The Red Sox 5 games from their starters, they've got 21 innings. They had a lot more runs allowed than that. In fact, their rotation ERA right now is 11.14. Seriously, best rotation in baseball supposedly is Boston. Oakland's rotation maybe 19th or 20th best, maybe. Up is down, black is white, day is night. What a crazy upside-down start to 2019. And in fairness, last year the 4th loss of the season was in Oakland as well. But by that time, the Sox had been 18-3. This time they had come in 1-3, now 1-4. Let's cheer you up best we can by offering this true fact, this ray of sunshine in an otherwise pitch black existence currently. The 1998 Yankees also started 1-4. They went 113-44, I guess, the rest of the way. Then swept the Padres to win the first of 3 straight World Series. Just throwing that out there to preserve your mental health. Anyway, here's some good news. Kind of a dance break before we get to the rest of what happened in Oakland Monday night. And if this is all very echoey, by the way, I'm recording this from a ballroom in the San Francisco hotel where the Red Sox are staying. So I do apologize if it's kind of banging all around here with the sound. Normally it's going to be better than this, I promise you. But before the game, it was announced. Xander Bogaerts done deal. 6 years, about $120 million. And he's signed now through 2025. There is an opt-out in there, but in theory, signed through 2025 with an option for 26. So I hope you like your shortstop. You're going to have him for a while. X signs on the X, and he's got a shot now. I mean, if he stays healthy, he will be the guy with the most all-time game played by a Red Sox shortstop. He's at 695 now. Everett Scott's got the record, 1,081. The Rooster, Rick Burleson, after that at 987. So if he stays healthy sometime early in 2021, that's your number one all-time shortstop. Chris Sale is signed through 2024. Devers through 2023. Benintendi, Evaldi, Price, Vasquez through 22. Barnes, Pedroia through 21. Betts and Bradley through 2020. So things are starting to take shape there. Dave Dombrowski, meeting with the media before the game, recorded that for you. Got a little bit of Xander on the end of this as well. He talks very softly, but at least you can hear him. And it was really kind of charming. Before the game began, all the Red Sox players pretty much and coaches, they all came in, they wedged themselves into this very tiny makeshift press conference area. And Rafael Devers, I couldn't take my eye off him, this little baby-faced kid. And he looks like he's 14. Obviously, he's not much, much older than that. But he was sitting there crisscross applesauce, like we used to say, Indian style. I don't know if that's politically correct to say Indian style anymore, but whatever. But he's beaming. I mean, it was like my 7-year-old niece watching Frozen, like leaning forward, big smile, couldn't wait to hear what was happening next. I thought it was just, it was adorable. But anyway, that was the big pregame news. And here's a little bit of that press conference with Dave Dombrowski talking first.
Thanks, Kevin. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Appreciate it. I'd like to start off, first of all, we're absolutely thrilled to have Bogey sign with us for an extended period. Young player that came through the organization, very talented, one of the top players in the game of baseball, in my opinion, in today's game. But really what the foundation of an organization is all about, having somebody who you sign and then develop and has a chance to remain here. Special thanks to our ownership, John Henry, Tom Werner, for making this happen, along with Mike Gordon. Very important always to let us do what we need to try to have the best club we can on the field for our fans. A special thanks to a couple of other individuals that were very involved in these negotiations, Brian O'Halloran and Raquel Ferreira, who's senior vice president in our organization, was very influential in trying to help to get this done. He's been very close to Bogey throughout his career. Thanks to Scott and his group, and to Alex and everybody else here that makes it possible in a place where our players want to play with the fan base that we have. So we're thrilled to get this done. And happy to have Bogey on board for a long time.
I think Dave said everything. Well, I want to start off by saying thank you to John Henry, Tom Werner, Gordon, Mr. Gordon, and the rest of the Red Sox ownership group for making this happen. Obviously, thank you to my agent, Scott Boras, for making this possible and working hard with Dave Dombrowski and BOH and everyone that was involved to getting this done. I also see Mike Fiore in the back there. I know how close I am with him. I want to thank my family back at home. I know my mom, my uncle, my brother. And obviously, my sister, they're so close to me, and I know how proud they are of me, of being able to do this. They know that here's where I grew up as a kid, 16-year-old kid with no facial hair. And now I got so much going on, and I know how proud they are of me, and I'm very thankful for them.
All right, so there you have a little bit of what was going on before the game. In game, I'm not going to talk for too long about it because it was just ugly again. Only once last year did the Sox lose 4 of 5, which is pretty incredible. But now they've already done it here in 2019, and it's only April 2nd. 11 home runs from the starters now in 5 games. Only the 1955 Milwaukee Braves and the 1978 second-year Toronto Blue Jays can say that. And we just did not see this coming because it's the same starters as last year. Oakland starters, we mentioned, they're having a high time of it. Guys you've never heard of. Look at the San Diego Padres. They had started out with 22 innings from a no-name staff, 2 earned runs. You look at some other teams that are pitching well, even the Dodgers, who had the, you know, they went to October 28th last year, too. And it just is not working out for the Red Sox. Not even David Price, who actually had a terrific changeup. He ends up going 6 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs, 2 walks, 9 strikeouts. He pitched much better than that. He got a changeup up to Chris Davis. Davis took it out in the second inning. He was ambushed by young Ramon Laureano, first pitch fastball in the third. Those were two leadoff inning home runs right there. And then right at the tail end of his night, unfortunately, Chad Pinder, a seven-pitch at bat, another changeup was left up. That one was golfed out. They ended up hitting four home runs, did the Oakland A's in this game. Ball's not supposed to carry at night in that ballpark, but it carried fine. Three home runs allowed by Price, so this is a problem. Already coming in, 11 home runs allowed in Seattle. We had said that no defending World Series champion had ever allowed that many home runs in the first four games of the year, and then four more allowed in this game. You liked what David Price looked like out there. I mean, this is a guy who's won. We know that. He's been on division winners five straight years. Detroit, Toronto, Boston, Boston, Boston. Five-time All-Star. He's won a Cy Young. Been runner-up a couple times. But even he was not immune to this weird virus that's just sweeping all around here. And I remember Buddy Bell, when he was the Kansas City manager, he told the media, I've learned you never say it can't get worse. And that's the thing. If you announce something as rock bottom, and then you've got to keep moving where rock bottom is, you lose all credibility. So I'm not going to say to you that the Red Sox are at rock bottom, because once through the rotation, they've got the team ERA of 11.14 from those starters. Because who knows? What if it gets worse for Chris Sale in the game tonight? I don't think it will. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But in this game, the Sox actually had an opportunity to take the lead. Ramon Laureano, we mentioned his name before, he made an incredible throw to cut down Xander Bogaerts at the plate trying to score on a base hit in the center. Now, replay showed he was actually safe. I have no idea what they were looking at back at Chelsea Piers in New York to award the out, because that really should have been overturned. I'm not just whining. That was a bad call at home plate and a bad non-overturn. But Red Sox didn't score, and then they just could not dent Aaron Brooks from there. And the A's just started swatting home runs. Heath Hembree had a real tough inning late. There was a home run by Matt Chapman in that inning. He gave up a couple more runs. Rafael Devers made an error in that inning. That's another thing we got to talk about. The Red Sox keep making errors right now. That's not stopping. It's seven errors in five games. Last year, their seventh error was in their 23rd game. So that has to be a point of conversation right now. At least they weren't the Cubs, who made six errors in a single game on Monday. That was pretty terrible. But we don't need to pick fights and point fingers and giggle at anybody else, because right now, obviously, the Red Sox at 1-4 are not doing what they were supposed to do at all. Alex Cora, after the game.
Velasquez was actually good.
Here's what he had to say.
You know, three pitches, three homers, but I think velocity was good. I just the changeup to Davis kind of cut into the zone. Obviously, the last one, he hung down one. Laureano ambushed him in the first pitch, but we needed six innings. I know it doesn't look great. You know, they scored four, but at least he gave us a chance, to reset the rotation. There's no question marks with him as far as health and all that. So, it was good to see him compete the way he did.
You don't usually see him miss spots like that. Right? What do you think has happened?
Well,
on the home runs.
I mean, it's three pitches out of 90 something. You know, I don't know how many he ended up striking out. I think it was 9, 10. He used both sides of the plate. There was a walk there to earlier, in the middle of the game that we thought the cutter was a good pitch there. I mean, he didn't get the call. And that's one of those at-bats that, he keeps adding to the pitch count. But I do feel that he threw the ball well. Obviously the home runs hurt us, just like the first few games here. But I do feel that he threw the ball well.
All right, that's the skipper. And now it's a look ahead. And we'll do this. I'll start out on a light note, because the one good thing that came out of Monday night was watching the race that they had with the made-up Dennis Eckersley thing against the made-up Ricky Henderson thing against the made-up Raleigh Fingers thing. And I'm not a huge fan of these races that have become so popular at every ballpark, although in San Diego they've now got the cast of Anchorman doing it. That I think that's pretty funny. That they've got the Brick Tamlin against Champ Kind against Ron Burgundy against whatever Paul Rudd's character's name was, which I forget right now. But Eck, who's a legend in Oakland, one of very few pitchers to have won a Cy Young and an MVP award in the same season. They still love him there. I got a chance to talk to him walking out after the ball game. We were heading to the exact same car, driven by the great Joe Castiglione. And before we got in the car, here's a little bit of that conversation.
All right, this is a treat on the podcast tonight or tomorrow or whenever you're listening to this. Dennis Eckersley, obviously an A's Hall of Famer. I'll read you the numbers some other time about his resume here. But good enough to be immortalized in large head form. They have a race here in Oakland, kind of like I guess they do with the sausages in Milwaukee and the presidents in Washington and all of that. It's Eckersley against Ricky Henderson and Raleigh Fingers is the third one. So Dennis Eckersley, as you all may know, is a very handsome man. Problem being that the way they represent this particular thing with the race, first of all, there's a turkey neck. Yeah. And second of all, it looks like not a chin, but an actual butt. They didn't consult you on this, I guess.
No, it's not really flattering, right, to say the least. But who cares? It's cool. You know, I can take a joke.
Okay, and you won the race tonight. Not you personally, but your character did. Was that a fix? Did they do that just because you're here?
Exactly. Does that mean they're going to do it for 4 days?
Cool, you're 4-0 coming up.
I'm the only one winning because we're not. Well, that's the problem, you know?
So before I even ask you about that, and you know what? I'm not going to ask you about that because I want to keep this light and upbeat. Yeah. The fact that you also have a gate named after you here at this ballpark, that's really cool.
It is cool. It really is. I mean, you know, you don't set your life out thinking I'm going to have a gate at the Oakland. This is where I grew up.
Right.
So it really is neat, and I hope they don't tear it down.
Oh, that's right.
Because you know they're going to get a new stadium. But it's flattering to have that sort of thing.
I believe, is it Gate G? Is that the one? I forget.
I don't know.
Oh, we got to find the right letter.
We're going to do a piece on it tomorrow, so
nice.
I could gloat a little bit.
I love it. Yeah. All right, well, good. Congratulations in advance on your 4-0 in the race while you're here. Yeah. Just tell them to clean up the butt on your chin.
Yeah, thanks, Dad.
They got to love the Eck real quick there in Oakland. Now, think about this, 89 and 90 seasons. Those two seasons, 131 innings pitched, he walked seven. 1990, he walked four and struck out 73. He went almost a whole year. He went June of 89 to May of 90 without walking anybody. 186 batters faced, none of them worked a walk. So hopefully some of that karma will ooze towards the current rotation. And Chris Sale might be the right guy to be on the mound in the game coming up Tuesday night. Obviously, he's embarrassed about how it went in Seattle. Three innings, gave up seven runs. He's got that thing. Goose Gossage is the guy I always remember. He would say, I looked into the eyes of the hitters. They seldom looked back. Because intimidation is a tool. A pitcher who thinks to himself as he looks at the hitter, man, I wouldn't want to be that guy right now. That means something. And I think Chris Sale is going to have that kind of night Tuesday. Let's hope. I'll go back to a player from the late 70s, because that's when I grew up. But Oscar Gamble had the line. I forget who he was facing. But he said, a good night tonight is 0-for-4 and don't get hit in the head. And I think that's the kind of mentality Chris Sale is going to bring out there against Mike Fiers, the SD Fiers-Sale matchup. Fiers was a 12-game winner last year for the A's and Tigers. Control guy, less than 2 walks per 9 innings. And it was very solid last year, 12-8, 3.58. So now he's on a 2-year deal. Had a no-hitter for the Astros against the Dodgers 4 years ago. Fly ball pitcher, but in that ballpark, and especially if it's going to be a rainy, chilly night, and that is the forecast, it doesn't matter. If it's fly balls, they usually stay in the yard. They did not when the Red Sox were pitching, unfortunately, on Monday night. Again, that final was 7-0 Oakland. So here are the Red Sox. It's staggering, but they are 1-4. And although misery loves company, the Yankees are a mess right now. They don't have a winning record. The Astros don't have a winning record. The Yankees injury list, Stanton, Andujar, Hicks, Betances, Ellsbury, Gregorius, Sabathia, Severino. I mean, they are absolutely in chaos over there. At least the Red Sox are healthy. They're just not playing very well. And again, hopefully that turns. We certainly hope it does. Hope you listen to the game on the Red Sox Radio Network with me and Joe. And I think Rob Bradford might make an appearance, too. You can always catch Rob, of course. He's got the blog right here on the WEEI website, if that's where you're picking up the podcast. If you're picking the podcast up somewhere else, good for you. That's great. But we also encourage you to go to WEEI.com. A lot of great information on there as well. So, bad news broadcaster strikes again. I'm so sorry. I really do take this personally. I feel horrible. My first year with the Cubs, by the way, they were 0-14. But the next year they had the Kerry Wood season, the Sammy Sosa season. That was quite splendid. But I'm not ready to cave in on this yet. This is not, obviously it's not going to be 0-14. They've already got a win. Thank God the Mitch Moreland home run came off of Hunter Strickland. And look at Seattle. Seattle's only lost one game. They're 6-1, those guys. They made four errors on Monday night, and they still won. Everything's going their way. Nothing's going the Red Sox way. I don't mean to be a whiner. That's just how it is right now. But they did not put themselves in a good position Monday night. They got steamrolled 7-0. All right, going to end it there because that's just depressing. Tune in next time, episode 4, 5. I've lost count already, which is sad. But whichever episode is next, we hope you tune in. Hope we have you for a listener for the entire season. Thank you. My name is Josh Lewin. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nobody brags about their car's resale value at a dinner party. Nobody posts about it on social media. It's not the reason you fall in love with a vehicle. But 5 years in, it's one of the clearest signs that you made the right decision. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For 6 consecutive years, Toyota has been named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book. And many Toyota models, like the Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner, are best in their class according to KBB. Because Toyota doesn't just build vehicles for the moment, they build for the miles ahead, which is something every Toyota owner can appreciate. So stop by your local Toyota dealer and enjoy the affordability of a great deal today, plus the value that lasts long after your purchase. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.